Okay, good evening, everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome to our Pirkei Avos weekly Pirkei Avos class learning. Baruch Hashem. So, just like America runs on Dunkin', I have the elf Alfei Havdalos. This year runs on sponsors. Mamish Mika Amcha Yisrael. This is really one of my most inspiring, I think, Torah Dik experiences of the week, because it's like 2.5 years and we are Kenayina Hara, Kein Yerbu, going strong with the Harbata Satora. It's just incredible. So tonight we once again have three sponsors. I give it in the order in which they were received. The first sponsor is Varda Birenbaum. Where are you? There she is. Who became a Zoom. We started to learn together via Zoom. And I had a very hashgachatic experience with one of her fifth grade teachers from decades ago that we were able to connect you to her after many years. So our friend Varda sponsoring the Zeichen Nishmas, her grandmother, Miriam Bas Yisrael Pinchas, Allah HaShalom. The year today is actually 6 ER, but July 21st on the secular calendar is the birthday of Varda's daughter Miriam Shatichya. So she thought it would be appropriate to dedicate the shir in honor of her namesake, Lahavdo Ben Achaim L'Chaim. My grandmother says Varda was born in Russia in 1898. They came to Ellis Island in 1903. Her grandfather also escaped Russia to avoid the army draft. They lived in Lowell, Massachusetts, and my grandfather, she writes, was a butcher and served many small Jewish communities around Lowell. So there's chus of being a shochet in that time and supplying people with kosher meat at the turn of the last century. Their experience in fleeing persecution shaped their values, appreciation of religious freedom, and also patriotism. My grandmother cherished Shabbos, and she planned for it all week, which is interesting because you're going to see the third sponsor wrote the same thing. She connected to many guests and valued each member of her family. She was bright and well-read, appreciated learning from her grandchildren as day school education was not available to her. She was a woman of great resilience after her husband died at the Bima as a Baal Tefillah, the love of her life. She was a model of patience. She helped a cousin who was severely affected by polio and was so grateful when a vaccine was developed. And gratitude. When she went to Eretz Yisrael in 1970 for the first time to meet relatives, she had such reverence and awe for Eretz Yisrael, she could not get over the privilege of being at the Kosel, Kever Rachel, Yam HaMelech. She didn't want to clean the dust on her shoes, as she valued the holiness of the land. Varda said she is so grateful for the blessing of such a role model. So this year's Azchus Aliyah Neshama for Miriam Bas Yisrael Pesach Alaha Pinchas. Miriam Bas Yisrael Pinchas Alaha Shalom. The second sponsor is my friend from Yerushalayim, Miriam Wasserman. I was thinking when I was preparing tonight's shir that for the azchus of the sponsors and what they are sponsoring for alone, it's really a big chizuk, and there's a lot to learn just from the dedications. My friend from Yerushalayim, Miriam Wasserman, whose husband, Rabbi Ari Wasserman, is a magid shir and a mechaber's farm out of Yerushalayim, is sponsoring on occasion of the shloshim for her husband's uncle, Rav Chaim Tzvi ben Rav Moshe Yitzchak. The shloshim is this Shabbos. And Lezech Nishma. So this is extremely interesting. She writes, Ari, her husband, Rabbi Ari Wasserman's uncle, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, was nifter in Israel a month ago. He was a Rav in Psaic, New Jersey for 40 years and one of the founders of NCSY. Listen to this. She said to me, he was Makariv Rabbi Zev Lef, who I know you learned so much from. He was also the Lef Shadchan. And Rabbi Tzalef said to my friend Miriam at the Levaya, I can't imagine where I would be in life if not for your Uncle Chaim and Aunt Leah. So this should be Azchus Aliyah Neshama for Rav Chaim Tzvi ben Rav Moshe Yitzchak, Zichrono Levracha, who Shloshim is the Shabbos. And finally, our friend Debbie Mayblum, who is also sponsored, who I think also became connected via Zoom, Zeichen Nishmas, her aunt, Michla Bas Shabsi, whose yahrzeit is 18 Tammuz. And like the first dedication, she also revered Shabbos. Listen to this. My aunt lived in Philadelphia. She was called Tanta Greta in her community. She warmed the hearts of all who visited with her famous chocolate chip cookies. She was Moser Nefesh for Shabbos. She walked an hour from her job to her home every Friday so she would not be Michal Shabbos. So may the neshama of Michla Bas Shabsi, on the occasion of her yahrzeit, 18 Tammuz, Debbie Mayblum's aunt, Mary Analia Neshama. So what am I going to talk about tonight with such powerful dedications and Zechir Analios Neshamas? I want to talk about how Klai Yisrael is all connected. And we are all Klai Yisrael, Arevim Zelazeh. Kol Yisrael Revim Zabaza, and how we're really Ki'ish Echad Belev Echad. We are one man with one heart. And when a person has a guf, a body, if one part of your body is affected by something, it affects your whole body. What do I mean? If you have a headache, okay? A real debilitating headache, not mild. You have a debilitating headache, chas v'sham. Your whole body doesn't feel well. Why is your whole body affected by something that happens to your head? I'm giving you a mashal. No, I'm actually telling you something serious, physical, but it's a mashal for Knesset Yisrael. How come if your head hurts, you might have to lay down? What's wrong with your arms? What's wrong with your legs? Why do you have to lay down? I'm not talking about a mild headache where you feel okay. If you have, God forbid, a broken foot, okay? How come your whole body's affected by your broken foot? Why can't you just go on the other foot? Why can't you walk on your hands? If, God forbid, a person has a heart condition, the heart's the center of the body, they're very ill. If there's a cardiovascular disease, the whole body's affected. What's the nimshal? Klal Yisrael is ki'ish echad, belev echad. Where do we know that from? Sefer Shemos, of course, the beginning of Perek Yotes, Vayichon Shal Mishal Neged Ha'har, Vayisu Merim Fidim, Vayel Merim Bar Sinai. Why is it changed from Lashon Rabbim to Lashon Yachid, Vayichon Shal Mishal Neged Ha'har? It shouldn't say Vayichon, it should say Vayachanu. So Rashi famously tells us that the prerequisite for Matan Torah is Achdus, and they camped like one man with one heart. What does it mean, one man with one heart? So I want to offer perhaps a different perspective based on the mashal that I'm giving you. We all know what it means, Achdus. And it's particularly apropos, I think, also for the 3 weeks. It's not only that they were ba'achdus. It's the understanding that one man has one heart. But if your heart's affected, your whole body's affected. If your liver is affected, your whole body's affected. It said my internet connection is unstable. Is it unstable? It's unstable? Some are saying yes, some are saying no. I'm going to continue. If it keeps happening, tell me. I'm going to have to go upstairs. This is an important shiur, and we're going to Be'ezor Hashem get through it. So, when one part of your body is affected, it actually affects the whole rest of the body. That's what Klal Yisrael means, I think. I don't know. But I think. I was thinking about it a lot. Ki'ish echad, belev echad. Understanding that we are one person, and every person has one heart. And if your heart is hurting, or your heart's not working properly, you can't say, oh, my legs are okay, my eyes are okay, my blood is okay. It's just one organ. But if that organ's not working, if that organ is broken, if that organ is in pain, everything else is in pain. That's what Klal Yisrael should be. We're so intimately connected with each other that sometimes we don't realize the impact that we have on each other. The way that one person, one part of the body, affects all other parts of the body. And I think, I don't know, I didn't see it brought down anywhere. So maybe it's a little bit of a Chiddush type interpretation. If it's MS, it was probably brought down somewhere before me. I think that's an important way for us to think as we journey through the 3 weeks. No member of Klal Yisrael exists in isolation. And if you recognize that we are ki'ish echad, belev echad, I'm one person with one heart, and if my heart is pained, if my heart is damaged, if my heart is broken, my whole body's not going to work properly. You all know that. God forbid, we should never be in such a physical situation. We should never be in such a metaphysical situation. So if one member of Klal Yisrael is in pain, all of us have to be in pain. We all affect each other. That's what it means, we're one body with one heart. One part of the guf affects the entire guf. One member in Klal Yisrael has an effect on the entire Klal Yisrael. And perhaps that's what we have to keep in mind as we journey through the 3 weeks. With that in mind, I am going to go to Hanimachas, Alei Hashem. And she talks about this very idea that we're all connected, and that's what I'm going to be speaking about tonight. I want to tell you a story, says Henny. I'm quoting directly. I'm sure many of you have the book, Amuna with Love and Chicken Soup. If you don't have the book, it's really appropriate reading for the 3 weeks. It teaches you a lot about not only Amuna, but her tremendous Ahavas Yisrael. In fact, I quoted from Henny in this morning's shir also. I want to tell you a story, says Henny. Rebbetzin Leah Cook said, one time she took it upon herself not to read even kosher newspapers on Shabbos. Two of the Zechir and Aliyah Neshamas Zeicha Nishmas, tremendous woman who are Moser Nefesh for Shabbos. Rabbi Tanea Cook said she took it upon herself not to read even kosher newspapers on Shabbos. She wants to concentrate only on Kodesh Baruch Hu. One Shabbos, she was passing a table, and there was a kosher newspaper that one of her kids was reading. She passed it, and she read a certain headline for 30 seconds at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's it. After Shabbos, a woman came to her and said, Rebbetzin Cook, I'm so broken. I've been Shomeris Shabbos for 4 years, and today at 4 o'clock, I felt a weakness, and I smoked a cigarette. I don't know what happened to me. Rebbetzin Cook says, it wasn't you. It wasn't your fault. Don't feel bad. You can do teshuva. She felt in this teeny tiny way. Now, whether you read kosher newspapers on Shabbos, you all know Michal Aretz enjoys mishpacha when I have time, not always as part of my own Shabbos. But this is what she took upon herself. And when she felt she was nechshol, she understood in some teeny tiny way, quote, she affected the people who are connected to her neshama. And she felt that that's why that woman was nechshol exactly at that time. When one part of the body is ill or weak, the whole body feels ill and weak. When you're fasting, so your stomach is empty. So some of us have time to bake delicious blueberry cakes, my friend Miriam Goodman. But some of us feel very tired on a fast day. And when you knock on the door, you say, did I wake you? You say, no, I'm just feeling a little out of it because I'm fasting. How come if your stomach's empty, your whole body feels chabnish konkayach? It's only your stomach that's empty. I want to tell you something, said Henny. When you hold back from doing what you're not supposed to do, whatever it is, you affect your parents, your children, and all the people in the generation whose souls are connected to you. Quote, we are all connected. It's a very scary thing. I think we don't appreciate that Klal Yisrael is this Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Why? Because then we wouldn't have Sinas Chinim, we would have a Havas Chinim. Like I ask you, do you love your heart? Even though you consciously don't think about your heart. Do you love when your head doesn't have a headache? Yeah, when do you think about that? When you have a headache. Do you love when you don't have a cut on your hand? Yeah, when do you think about it? When you can't cut properly because your finger's hurting you. Do we love our feet that got us to where we go? Of course we love our feet. I need my feet. I love my feet. That's what Klai Yisrael is. That's what a Havas Chinam is. Every member of Klai Yisrael is a different part of the guf, and we're all beating one heart. Says Henny, yesterday morning on Shabbos, I got up and there was this big, juicy, luscious-looking piece of cake. It was a mousse cake. I had a feeling I shouldn't eat it. It's not good for me, says Henny. It was before davening, even though I'm Hasidish, and if I'm very hungry, I could eat before I daven. I'm not giving any piskei halacha. You do what your rav says. I'm quoting the Sefer. I felt I shouldn't eat it. I heard a loud voice in my head saying, Henny, don't eat it. It's not good for you. Anyway, at 8 o'clock in the morning, I ate it. So after that, I felt bad. I felt disappointed in myself. I didn't know. I knew it wasn't the right thing, but I ate the cake. Why did I succumb to the taiva to eat the cake? So I did his bodedus after Shachos at 11 a.m. I said, listen, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm sorry. I fell, but please don't be distant from me. You know I didn't mean it. I'm a human being. This is how we are. I fell. I'm sorry. I did teshuva, says Henny. Then today somebody came to my house. He's about teshuva. He's been firm for a while, but he told me Shabbos morning at 8 o'clock, he could not overcome a certain taiva, and he texted someone on his cell phone. So this guy told me all the other times he's texted on Shabbos, afterwards he felt like that's it. He would take off his yarmulke, be mechal Shabbos all day. But he said yesterday after he texted, he caught himself. He said at 11 a.m. he got up and he went to shul. And he said, you know what, Hashem, I know you love me and I love you. I don't know what happened. I lost it. I texted on Shabbos at 8 a.m., but it's 11 o'clock. I'm going to shul. I'm sorry. The rest of Shabbos, he learned Torah. He did everything he was supposed to do. And he says, when I ate the cake, he texted. For her, she was being nechsha. He was nechsha. When I did his bodedus and talked to God for forgiveness, he went to shul. Henny says, quote, we're all connected to each other. That's what I want to tell you. So when you want to do what you're not supposed to do, remember you're affecting who knows how many other neshamas, quote, end quote. Page 389 to 390 if you want to look it up. I know many have this biography / sefer. There's so much to learn from here. Chazon Ish used to say, Zatzal, the best Musar stories of Gedolim. In her own right, Henny Machus was a sari menu of our generation. We're all connected to each other, says Henny. That's what I want you to know. And when you do what you're not supposed to do, you're affecting who knows how many other neshamos. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Alf Mishnah Yodalet. I don't have a handout tonight, actually. Hu Haya Omer. It's two famous Mishnayos. Hillel used to say, Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li. I have to appreciate that I am my own individual person. I have to do mitzvahs for myself. I have to strengthen my connection to God by myself. I have to work on my own midos, my own tefillah. Im ein ani li mili. L'kusha ani la'atzmi ma'ani. But if I feel, if I live only for myself, if I do not recognize I'm part of a greater body called Klal Yisrael, and when one of us does something, we affect the entire body. Ma'ani, what am I, says Hillel. Im ein ani li mili. Of course you cannot negate your personal responsibility to be an Eved Hashem. If I'm only for myself, then what am I? All three dedications. Varda Birenbaum's grandmother cherished Shabbos, connected to many guests, and valued each member of her family. We don't live only for ourselves. Rav Chaim Tzvi ben Rav Moshe Yitzchak, Rabbi Ari Wasserman's uncle, was the founder of NCSY, who's from Makari for one person, Rabbi Zev Lev, who knows how many others. And Debbie Mayblum's aunt, Micha Bashabsi Alal Hashem, would grace everyone who visited with her famous chocolate chip cookies. We don't live only for ourselves. Just like my stomach doesn't exist in isolation, I need my stomach, but it affects everything. Just like my feet don't walk by themselves, it affects my whole body. If we can appreciate how your Ish Echad, Belev Echad works for you as an individual, then you could appreciate what Klal Yisrael is with this mashal. If I don't try right now to make improvements, right now during Beit HaMitzrayim, right now, Shabbos Mevarchim, it should be a menachem of, right now, make a change. Right now, don't wait. Don't wait till it's too late. Right now, recognize what every member of Klal Yisrael is affecting every other member. If I only live for myself, it's like a heart without a body. It's like legs without a person. It's like eyes without a face. That's worthless. One yid on his own who doesn't appreciate they're all connected. Ma'ani. What am I after all? V'imlo achshav emasai. Now, says Hillel, right now, make the change. Furthermore, I found it so interesting when I was preparing this shiur, Hillel Omer. I will tell you that I did not remember the second Mishnah that I'm about to quote, who is the Tana who taught us it. And I was grateful for the Hashkacha. When I came to the Mishnah in Perek Beis, second Perek, Mishnah Dalad, Hillel Omer, Al Tifrosh Minatzibur. The same Hillel who tells you, if I am to myself, then what am I? Meaning, I am nothing if I live and exist only for myself. Tells us, a Perek later, Al Tifrosh Minatzibur. Do not separate yourself from the community. Do not believe in yourself till the day of death. Once again, just like you don't judge yourself harshly, hopefully you forgive yourself for the errors of our past, and we do teshuva like Hani did teshuva, like Rabbi Sinai Cook did teshuva. Don't judge somebody else till you get to their place. The same Hillel who says, Kishani la'atzmi ma'ani, tells us, Al tifosh minatzibur. And I think it's such an impactful lesson for the time of Bein HaMitzarim. And we need to recognize Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad, and what it really means. So I want to tell you something very interesting, and what I found very moving and very powerful as a Musar Haskel for all of us. How did I know that Rabbi Ari Wasserman's uncle was Nifter? Because I was on Yutar about a month ago, and I saw Rabbi Ari Wasserman had a shiur on Yom Torah, L'Zeichron Ishmas Rabbi Chaim Wasserman. I forgot what the shiur was called. So I reached out to Miriam, and I sent her a screenshot. I said, hi Miriam, I'm thinking of you. I hope you and your family are well. I hope you're busy with Besoros Tovos. So she replied back, thank you so much for reaching out. She said, Ari's uncle, Rabbi Chaim Wasserman, was Nifter in Israel on Friday. I'm reading you exactly what she wrote to me. He was a Rav in Pseg for 40 years. He was one of the founders of NCSY. It's amazing that you're reaching out, she specifically said, because he was Mekayiv Rabbi Zev Lef, who I know you learned so much from. He was also the Lef Shadchan, and Rebbetzin Lef said to me at the Levi, she can't imagine where she would be standing in life if not for Uncle Chaim and Aunt Leah. That's a direct quote. So I replied back, not knowing or ever meeting Rabbi Ari Wasserman's uncle. I am certainly, I wrote back, quote, albeit indirectly indebted to Rabbi Chaim Wasserman Zichrono Levracha, previously unbeknownst to me, as he was Makari of Rabbi Zev Lef. And then Miriam replied back, It's amazing for me to think about you being indebted, unbeknownst, to Rabbi Chaim Wasserman. Listen carefully. Can you imagine when he goes up to the Olam HaEmes? He's going to be shown Micha Harad Shirim and all the people you inspire. Sorry, I'm just reading a WhatsApp. And he has no idea why they're showing this to him. And that moved me in a very powerful way. Imagine you go up to Shemayim and they're going to bring out a wagon full of zchuyos. And they're going to play the movie of your life. And you're going to see people you don't know. You have no idea who they are. You never met them. You don't even know their name. And they're going to say, this is your zchus. You're going to say, who is that? Why is this my zchus? And they're going to say, oh, because the person you affected affected that person. And that person affected so many other people. So that's your zchus. Imagine the ripple effect that one yid has on the entire klal. Imagine one pump of the heart, of the blood, that it has on the entire body. It's amazing to me, said Miriam, to think about you being indebted, unbeknownst to Ari's uncle, excuse me, Rabbi Wasserman. Can you imagine in the Olam HaEmet, when he is shown the shiurim that you give and all the people you inspire, and he has no idea why they're showing this to him? Amazing. And then Miriam said, another thought I'm having is the vastness of our connections. And she said, I have tremendous hakar tov to you for all you teach me. Sorry, there's a point in why I'm reading this to you. But do I think to have a hakar tov to all the people that made you who you are? There are so many links unbeknownst connected in Klai Yisrael. So I said to her, I think we're writing a shir, Miriam. And I told her, I sent her a few voice notes back. This very idea that she said, you could have a hakar tov to a person who does something to you. But what about all the people who made that person the person they are? So there's a beautiful raya for this from the Torah. In Perek Beis of Sefer Shemos, Moshe Rabbeinu saves the daughters of Yisrael at the well. And when he saves the daughter of the Yisrael at the well, he chases away the shepherds who are badgering them. They get water very quickly and they come home. And Yisrael says to his daughters, Mami Herton Lavo Hayam, how did you come so quickly today? So they say, Ish Mitzri Hisilanu Mian Haroim V'gam Dalo Dalanu. Dalo dalalanu. An Egyptian man saved us from the shepherds and he drew water for us. So Yisro says, where is he? You left him by the well. Go get him. He ends up marrying Tzipora. So the basic pshat is Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miad Haroim. An Egyptian man saved us. Moshe was dressed like an Egyptian. Remember, he's fleeing. He grew up in Paro's palace. He's wearing Egyptian clothing. He talks Egyptian. He looks like an Egyptian. But there's a medrash that says, listen to this. There's a medrash that says, why did Moshe run away from Egypt in the first place? Perek Beis, Pasuk Yir Aleph. Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Elachav, Vayar Besivlosam. Vayar Ish Mitzri, Maka Esh Is Ivri Meachav. Vayifen Kovako, Vayar Kein Ish, Vayachasar Mitzri, Vayet Mineu Besol, Bachol. The first thing we know about Moshe Rabbeinu is that when he grows up, he goes to his brothers. He wants to see what's doing in the field. He sees an Egyptian man, listen carefully, hitting a Hebrew from his brothers. He looks this way and that way. He kills the Egyptian and he hides him in the sand. The next day he finds out Paro knows and he has to run away. When Yisro says to his daughters, where is the man? Who saved you? And they say, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miad Haroim. There's a medrash that says, they're not referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. They're referring to the Egyptian that he killed. Ish Mitzri, the Ish Mitzri who was hitting the Hebrew, who Moshe killed, who he hid in the sand. He saved us from the shepherds. Because he was the cause for Moshe to run away, to end up in Midian, to be by the well, to meet us, to save us from the shepherds. Ish Mitzri, Hitzilanu Miad Haroim. How many concentric circles are there? How much ripple effect is there of everything that we do? If we but remember what it means that we are Ki'ish Echad, Belev Echad. Hu Haya Omer Hillel used to say, Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li. Ukasha Anila Atsmi Ma Ani. A heart without a guf is not a body. A body without a head is not a person. A mind without a brain is not a mind. Klal Yisrael, without appreciating that every Jew makes a part of our body, is a very sick, ill, weak Klal Yisrael. And when we have sinus chinam for each other, we're not appreciating how we're all connected. We're cutting off a part of our own body. Why are you cutting off your own body? Who would cut off their hand? Who would cut off their foot? Who would take out their own heart? What are you doing? You're killing yourself. There are so many connections. I found this imagery so moving, so powerful. A person gets up to Shemaim. The person, the Rav, who was Mekarv Rabbi Zev Lev, and they start bringing all the schuyos, and they show Michal Haaretz Hashirim. Every time she mentions or quotes Rabbi Zev Lev, which is very often, he's going to say, who is that? I don't know that woman. I never learned from her. Who are all the people she teaches? And they're going to say, oh, it's all your schus. It's unbelievable. You know, I just spoke on Shabbos. And to prepare my Shabbos year, it was a Yurtzeit year. I needed a source from Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter. And I know he's in Israel now because I emailed him at the beginning of the month about something. He said, I'm in Israel. So I emailed him. I say, I know you're in Israel. But do you have access to where you are, your father's letter? His father, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, Zatzal, the rabbi of Buchenwald, the chaplain in the U.S. Army who liberated Buchenwald, wrote a letter to his own parents about why he felt it was imperative at the age of 25 to join the U.S. Army and become a chaplain against his parents' wishes. In the letter, he says, it may be against the will of my father, but it is certainly not against the will of my father in heaven. So I needed to quote from the letter for my Shabbos here. So I emailed Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter. And I said, I know you're in Israel, but do you have access to your father's letter? So he replied back on Adam Galdon, a tremendous Talmid Chacham, scholar, thinker, Torah personality. He said, I published it a little while ago in Tradition. I don't have the link, but I'm going to email Tradition for you. And I'll see if I can get it for you. He emailed Tradition. They replied to him. He forwarded it to me, Baruch Hashem. When I was preparing this shiur, I emailed Rabbi Pesach Kron earlier today. I'm going to read it to you. It's a beautiful lesson. This story of Rabbi Kron came to me, and I realized I wanted to incorporate it into the shiur. This shiur has actually been on my mind for a month. I didn't even know when I was going to teach it or in what venue I was going to teach it. But since Miriam told me that idea of her husband's uncle going to Shemaim and saying my shiur, and I'm not talking about Michal Haaretz, I'm talking about we all have this effect on people unbeknownst to us. All of us affect people in ways we don't even know. So it came to my mind, the story by Rabbi Kron, at 4:35 p.m. Listen, good afternoon, Rabbi Kron. I know this is a long shot. This is 4:35, but I'm giving a shiur this evening at 8 p.m. I italicized it. On how our actions affect others, even when we don't realize it. This is also a lesson. How an Adam Gadol could take the time to help a regular person. All right, Dr. J.J. Schechter emailed Tradition. He got back to me. He's in Israel, vacation, time difference. I emailed Rabbi Pesach Kron at 4:35 p.m. Good afternoon, Rabbi Kron. I know this is a long shot, .. I'm giving a shiur this evening at 8 p.m., italics, on how our actions affect others even when we don't realize it. I have all your Maggid Sfar in Baruch Hashem, but I have no idea which sefer of this it's in. You quote a story about a person davening at the Kotel. And unbeknownst to him, someone watching was affected and changed, .. How that person will have zechuyos he doesn't even realize he has because of his tfilos. This story ties in exactly to my share. I'm reading my email verbatim. Do you perhaps know the story I'm referring to and which of your Sfarim in the Maggid series it is in? ! Thank you! And with appreciation for your wonderful writings and Divrei Torah Koltov. 5:15 p.m., 40 minutes later. Thank you for your kind words. The story is called Delivering in Dallas, in Echoes of the Maggid, page 131. Hatzlacha with your shir, Pesach Kron. I wrote back, thank you so much. And he wrote back anytime. I am now going to quote from Echoes of the Maggid, page 131, with extreme thanks, Rabbi Pesach Kron, because the story is exactly what I was looking for. And I have all the Sfarim upstairs, and I could not recall at all which one it was, or even the exact details of the story. I read you the email, and it was vague, and he knew exactly what I needed. Every Yom Kippur, which is not so far away, Elul stands for, Av stands for Elul Ba. I read that last week. I don't remember where. Av, Aleph Bet stands for Elul Ba. Every Yom Kippur, writes Rabbi Kohen Shlita, we stand before Hashem with remorse. We recite the confession. One of them is, Achet Shechatanu Lefanecha Biyodim Uvelo Yodim. For the sin we have sinned before you, with our knowledge and without our knowledge. Since Hashem holds us accountable, even if we unknowingly cause others to sin or bring others to pain, surely we are rewarded when we cause others to do good. Chazal teach, Midah Tova Meruba Mimidas Peranus. Hashem's measure of good is much greater than Hashem's measure of Peranus, Chas V'Sham. In the following remarkable story, one Jew's deeds unknowingly influenced another Jew's deeds. Ish Mitzri. He doesn't write that. I'm adding in the Medrash. In 1983, Rabbi Aryeh Rodin, R-O-D-I-N, a graduate of Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim in Forest Hills, New York, assumed the spiritual leadership of the newly formed Young Israel of Dallas, Texas. As a dedicated Rav, he gave shiurim to the community at large. He did kiruv work. There were more families than ever before who came back to authentic Judaism because of Rabbi Aryeh Rodin. One day he was sitting in his small office when a gentleman he had never seen before walked in. Rabbi, he said in a deep Texan drawl, can I have a word with you? Of course, said Rabbi Rodin, please sit down. My name is Leonard Fruman, the man began, extending his hand for a firm handshake. Leonard and the rabbi became involved in a friendly conversation about Judaism. And after a while, Leonard said, I would like to make a contribution to your synagogue. Rabbi Rodin was surprised. People do not usually walk into the shul off the street and give money without being pressured or honored. He expected to receive a check for $100. This is in 1983. He was astounded when Mr. Fruman wrote a check for $2,000. Then Mr. Fruman said, actually, I just realized I don't have checks with me. I'll be back next week. You can count on me, Rabbi. Rabbi Rodin returned a smile and wished Leonard well. In his heart, Rabbi Rodin was convinced Leonard was not coming back with the actual check. He had no synagogue affiliation. He had no commitment to Orthodox Judaism. And $2,000 was a lot of money. Rabbi Rodin thought Leonard would think his pledge over again. It was too generous and it would not materialize. But next week, to the rabbi's surprise, the check was not for $2,000. The new check was for $3,000. I thought about a conversation, Rabbi, throughout this week. I liked what you told me about Judaism, said Leonard, so I increased the amount. Rabbi Rodin was speechless. Perhaps you'd like to come back next week, he said jokingly. That first donation began a long relationship between the Frumans and Rabbi Rodin. When the rabbi moved to far north Dallas in 1986 to establish a new congregation, Leonard came along. At the untimely age of 49, Leonard passed away. And shortly after, his mother and family made substantial donations to rebuild and renovate Ohev Shalom congregation in Dallas, far north Dallas, in his memory. At Leonard's Shloshim, a memorial held 30 days after the passing, I know it's longer than stories usually quote, but just bear with me. Rabbi Rodin, in a moving eulogy, told the following remarkable story. In 1986, I just want to point out, this year commemorates the Shloshim of Rabbi Wasserman, and it also commemorates Varda Birenbaum's grandmother's first trip to Eretz Yisrael. In 1986, Leonard made his first trip ever to Eretz Yisrael. He was determined to see all the sights. One morning, he went to the Kotel Maravi, where Jews come from all over the world to pray. Many write messages to God on small pieces of paper and insert them in the crevices of the holy wall. Unfamiliar with the text of prayer, Leonard walked to the massive wall, put his right hand on the stones, closed his eyes, and in silent prayer expressed to God his innermost yearnings. After a while, Leonard became aware of a Yerushalmi Jew standing on his right who was totally immersed in prayer. Wrapped in his tallis, the man was swaying back and forth. His eyes were glued to the worn pages of his Tehillim. Every once in a while, the Jew would close his eyes, raise his hands to heaven, and sigh. I just heard, actually, Rabbi Zavlaf, yesterday. I haven't had an opportunity to tell it over. I actually told it to someone personally today who's going through an exceptionally difficult matzav, but I haven't told it over yet in a shir. I only heard it yesterday morning from Rabbi Zevlev. The gematria of Bechi, Beis Chof Yod, is lave, heart. I think it relates to our shir. If we understand, we are Ki'ish Acha B'lev Echad, as we're explaining it tonight. And when one of us cries, everyone's leave should be crying. Bechi beis chof yod, to cry, is a gematria of leave. They're both 32. And he's watching this Yerushalmi man closing his eyes and sighing to God. Rabbi Zevlev said the dima'ot, the tears, are only the physical expression of the inner prayer of the heart. Very powerful. After a while, Leonard became aware of this Yerushalmi Jew, and Leonard continued to observe him. He noticed the peaceful bliss of a man connecting with his maker. Leonard was overcome by this spirituality he had never witnessed before. He wished he could have that bond between man and creator. If only he could touch it, feel it, bottle it. He wanted to give the man money. He was so moved, but he couldn't imagine interrupting his holiness. Besides, it would only taint the moment and be almost profane. He left the kotel uplifted and strengthened, but he felt empty. Suddenly, the Judaism he hadn't been close to meant so much more to him than ever before. This experience, the Yerushalmi Jew davening at the Kotel, stayed with him throughout the duration of his trip to Eretz Yisrael. When he returned to Dallas, Leonard went to the Jewish bakery to meet his friend, the owner, Mr. Abe Preisler. He told Mr. Preisler about his trip to Israel, and he described the emotional, moving, spiritual experience at the Western Wall. "Tell me," Leonard said, "a man like that, what synagogue in this town do you think that man at the wall would feel comfortable praying in?" The bakery owner quickly said, "In Rabbi Rodin's synagogue." And that is how Leonard's relationship with the Orthodox community began. And from then on, Leonard and his family grew in their commitment to Judaism. Rabbi Rodin paused and said with emphasis, "Imagine for a moment the scene when that Yerushalmi gentleman," I really chills when I tell this to you, "and that Yerushalmi gentleman who is davening at the Kotel Ma'aravi comes to heaven after 120 years. When his years are complete, he goes up to the heavenly court. Hashem will tell him he's about to be rewarded, greatly rewarded, for being instrumental in maintaining and refurbishing shuls in Texas. This fellow probably never heard of Dallas, this Yerushalmi Jew. And if he did, he certainly wouldn't even know where to find it. Yet because he davened, the way he davened, where he davened, it turns out that we in this community," said Rabbi Rodin, owe that Yerushalmi Yid so much. Mami hartan levo hayam, ish mitzri, hitzilanu, miad haroim. And that Yerushalmi Yid," said Rabbi Rodin, "his reward in the Olam HaEmes will be immense for our shul in Dallas." Rabbi Rodin directed everyone to reflect on this thought. It's not only about my connection to Rabbi Lev's Divrei Torah, Rabbi Lev's intimate connection to Rabbi Chaim Wasserman. It's all of us. We are all part of one body of Klal Yisrael. We're all beating with the same heart. One part of the body, if you have a headache, you have to lay down. Why? It's just your head. What's wrong with your hands? What's wrong with your hearing? What's wrong with your eyes? Why do you have to close your eyes if you have a migraine? It's your head! Imagine when we all get to Shemayim after 120, they're going to show us people we don't even know. People we never heard of. People we never met. And they're going to say, "It's your schush." They're going to say, "What are you talking about? I don't know who these people are." Miriam Wasserman said they're going to show Ari's uncle, Rabbi Ari Wasserman, about how she wrote it. Michal Horowitz is going to say, "Who is this?" And they're going to say, "It's your zechus." Think about your life, your actions, the people you know, and all the people you don't know. Hillel says, "Im ein ani li mili," that's true. But even more true is, "Kisha ani la'atzmi ma'ani." And the same Hillel says a parak later, "Al tifrosh min atzibur." You're all part of the body. You wouldn't cut off your finger. You wouldn't cut off your toe. You wouldn't cut off your nose. You wouldn't cut off your ear. God forbid. Why do you cut off a fellow yid? We're all connected and we all affect each other. When Rabbi Tzaleya Cook read the headline, that person was Mechalel Shabbos. Rabbi Rodin then turned to everyone and he said, consider the responsibility, quote, we have for each other, for our actions. Could the Yerushalmi at the Kosel, davening to Hashem, ever imagine that donations to a shul in America would be made only because of him, in a place he probably never heard of and could never find and never visited by a person he never met, whose name he didn't know? Shir has been on my mind for a month. And I teach in a lot of venues, Baruch Hashem, the whole week and weekends. And I didn't know when I was going to give it. But it's a 3 weeks. And it's such an appropriate message for the 3 weeks. Quote, said Rabbi Rodin, we should all be careful with anything and everything we do. For there are always people watching us. Ayin and Roas is the Mishnah in Perek Avos, in the beginning of Perek Beis. Ozen Shama'as. Maybe what it means is not only that God is always watching, but I and Roa, someone else is always watching, another Yid. Ozen Shama'as, someone else always hears the way you behave, the way you daven, the way you speak. And therefore, ergo, v'choma secha b'sefer nechtavim, in Shamayim, it's all written down. We should all be careful, said Rabbi Rodin, with anything and everything we do. For there are always people watching us, even if we're not aware of it. Our actions may influence their actions, for the good or heaven forbid otherwise. This is one of our greatest obligations. Also, my deep thanks to Rabbi Pesach Krohn for taking the time from his very, very busy schedule to so quickly email me back, because I could not have said a better than this amazing story for the message that I wanted to deliver to all of us this evening. And I'm not only speaking to you. I'm primarily L'Havda Alpha Billion Havdalos. Rav Chaim Briskowitz used to give his Shabbos Shuvah drasha. The Rav says about his grandfather, he would say, Chaim's talking to Chaim. If you want to listen along, you can. I'm just thinking about a great Yid who founded NCSY, who was a Rav in Pseg for 40 years, who was a Makar Rabbi Zavav, goes up to Shemayim, they're going to show him someone he didn't know. But don't think about me, think about you. Think about your life. Think about who the Ish Mitzri is to you. Think about all the connections we have with each other. Think of the fact that it's the 3 weeks and Sinas Chinam tears one body and one heart to shreds. I am also greatly indebted to the fact that we always, since we started this year, have never been without sponsors. I hope it gives you a lot of nachas. I really do. I think it does. I hope unbeknownst to us, all the people ultimately listen to this year online and then tell the Divrei Torah over and then causes positive ripple effects amongst Klal Yisrael. It should really be zchus l'tova for all of us and for healing the brokenness of the body of our nation and the brokenness of our land. The Megillah says in Eicha, Ki gadol kayam shivrech mi yer palach. Your brokenness is as vast as the sea. Who can heal you? Our nation can only be healed. And if what I'm saying tonight is MS, and my interpretation of Ki ish echad b'lev echad makes sense, it's the only way we can be healed. I thank very much my friend Varda Birnbaum for sponsoring L'Zeicha Nishmas, her grandmother, Miriam Basusal Pinchas, on the occasion of her yahrzeit. You don't know how many people that butcher shop enabled to keep kosher in a time in the early 1900s when kosher was so difficult to come by. I thank very much my friend Miriam Wasserman for her sponsorship, L'Zeicha Nishmas, the Rav Chaim Tzvi ben Rav Moshe Yitzchak, Zichrono Levracha, on the occasion of Rishloshim. And I thank very much my friend Debbie Mayblum, Mechla Bashabsi, whose Yahrzeit is 18 Tammuz, Alei Hashem. Because you don't know how much a chocolate chip cookie, and I'm not joking. I had a sibling who was not the easiest in school. And there were many teachers who were not pleased and very negative with that sibling. There was one teacher 1 year when that sibling was leaving to sleepaway camp who showed up at the bus with homemade chocolate chip cookies. Which teachers do you think had a bigger effect on this person? I will tell you that it's the one who brought homemade chocolate chip cookies. And you don't know the people you affect when you walk a good hour from your job to home every Friday and the Kiddush Hashem you make and the beating heart that is Kol Yisrael. It's important to read Torah. Think about after 120, when we get up, the people they'll show us. Let us make sure it's always Zechuyos the Tova, Ish Mitzri, Hitzilanu Miyad Haroim. Hu Haya Omer, Im Eina Nili Mili, Ukisha Anila Atzmi, Ma Ani, Mamish, Im Lo Achshav, Emasai. This share will be posted. Please share it with others so we could continue repairing and healing our nation until the BS Gold Tzedek. I thank our sponsor so much. I look forward to continuing next week. B'sores Tovas, Kol Tov, and thank you to all.